on the air today. So if you've been listening all year, then thank you so much for being with me. And if you're new to Synchronicity, welcome to the show. I will be giving out a gift from Sage Natural Wellness, as well as a DVD of Louise Hay's movie, You Can Heal Your Life. So keep listening for the cue to call for that. Now, today on the show, I'm really excited. Robert Perry is on the show, and he is the author of a book called Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. Now, this is about not just signs that come in passing where you get this feeling like, oh, I think that's a sign, and you're trying to interpret whether it is. This is something that actually could be researched. It's very in depth, and he's going to talk about it and explain it on the show today. So if you want to get on the air and ask Robert a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So now, without further ado, here is Robert Perry. Hi, Robert.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
Very well. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show and for the first being here for the first anniversary of the show.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. I can't believe it's already been a year that has gone by. We started in the first week of July 2008, and another year has come around. So I really want to talk about your book. I have read it, and I was fascinated by, first of all, the way you break down the signs, and you have some rules to... First of all, how about you explain to us what you consider a sign in this book? Because it's a little more in-depth than what someone would normally consider a sign.
Yes, you're right. Sign is kind of my informal term for it. And to talk about it more formally, I use this acronym CMPE, which stands for Conjunctions of Meaningfully Parallel Events, just to distinguish it from more conventional signs. And what happened is, starting in my teens, I started to notice certain kinds of coincidental events in my life, as so many of us do. And they intrigued me. Some of them seemed to be saying really important things. And so I started talking about them, remembering them, taking them seriously. Eventually, I started writing them down and exploring them on paper. And over time, a model coalesced of a certain kind of coincidental event. Coincidences and synchronicities take so many forms. And what I noticed was a certain kind of coincidence or synchronicity that really kept recurring and captivated me. And out of exploring that specific phenomenon over the years, I came up with what you call these rules. And the basic rules are that you need two distinct events occurring very close in time, not necessarily simultaneously, but within hours of each other. And these two events need to share not just one thing in common, but really a long list of things in common. And those commonalities, which I call parallels, need to basically tell a story, describe a certain situation. I think the most famous synchronicity is from Carl Jung, who coined the term. And in his story, he's got a patient who's telling him of a dream of hers in which someone gives her a piece of jewelry that's a golden scarab. And while she's telling the dream, Jung hears something tapping at the window, and it's a golden scarab beetle. And so there you have two distinct events, which is her telling the dream and the beetle appearing at the window, and they have something very striking in common. Both have a golden scarab in the event. But to be a sign, in my sense, the two events would need to share a lot more in common than just that one thing, the golden scarab.
Okay, so Robert, I've been reading the book, and I've been saving up all my questions, and I have oodles and noodles. Again, if you want to get on the air and ask Robert a question about your synchronicities, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, or you can also email me at spiritualshow@gmail.com, and I'll pass your question along. Now, that scarab story with Carl Jung was very, it seems like a big event. I mean, she's dreaming about this beetle, basically, and then this beetle comes to the door, to the window, and it's golden.
Right.
So why, I mean, I know you need to have a number of events, but it seems like that would be a pretty loud shout out from the universe.
Yeah. And if I was there, I'd probably take it that way myself. I'm not saying that something like Jung's scarab story doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying it doesn't rise to the level where it fits the model that I'm working with. So I'm not saying everything outside this model is meaningless. Another thing is that I suspect that that probably, well, at least may well have been a real CMPE, and that if we knew more about the specifics of her dream and the specifics of the session they were having, we might discover that there were more parallels than just the golden scarab.
Okay. So, Robert, another thing is that along with the parallel events and the number of parallels that it needs to be to qualify for a CMPE, it also needs to be within a maximum of 12 hours apart from the first initial event to the second or the third, right?
You have read the book.
Yes, I have. But I have a question because a couple weeks ago I heard a story from someone, and I believe she's listening right now, where there was a series of events that definitely seemed like some kind of sign from the universe, but they were spread out over a week, but they were so dramatic, you can't ignore it. I'm just going to get a little bit into the story.
Sure, go ahead.
She had hired a gardener. It was his first day on the job, and she, for some reason, she had left the house, and her young child was at home with her mother, I believe, and she came home because there was some problem, and normally she wouldn't have come home, but she had to come home. And when she got there, the FBI was there, and they were like, "Do you know this guy?" And she's like, "Well, he just started working here." And they're like, "Well, he's a sex offender, and he's not supposed to be around young women and children." And so they thankfully took him away to jail. But then a few days later, she had someone who she had been planning to hire for her family's small business. And normally she would just take people's word for it that they're trustworthy, but she kind of got a feeling. So she thought, well, I'm going to check on the sex offender list. And the guy was a sex offender.
Mm.
And then a few days later, there had been someone who from high school or college who'd looked her up. And she just kind of was like, oh, I'm just going to check the sex offender list for whatever reason, and that dude was on there too. So three guys in over the course of a week. I mean, I would imagine that being a registered sex offender is not that common a thing,
right,
to be happening so frequently over the course of a week. So why would something like that, which is obviously so dramatic and some kind of sign, I mean, obviously the universe was looking out for her and her family over that week, protecting her from these people. So why would that not qualify as a CMPE? I realize it's beyond 12 hours, but in some situations, can that still qualify?
It wouldn't. If the story is exactly as you've told it, it wouldn't qualify for this model. Not to say it's not meaningful. However, there are other issues. One thing is that an event like the initial event with the FBI coming to the house, is generally not a one-time thing. We may afterwards tell someone about the event, and that's an event in its own right. We may write about it in our personal diary, and that, too, is an event in its own right. So if I had experienced that on that second day, or on with the third instance, I would look mentally through that day and think, did I tell this story about the initial event with the FBI to someone on that day? Did I, you know, write about it in my journal or email about it to somebody on that day? And very often there'll be echoes of the original event that are events in their own right that do come in close proximity to an event some days later that's very similar.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. So usually when you think of a sign and an event, it's something a little bit more dramatic.
And it need not be in this case.
Okay. So that's good. I believe she's listening, so she might want to go back and look into that and think about it a little bit deeper. So another one I just want to throw out there, so because I want to make it really clear to the listener that it's, you know, it's very specific. And I was, just for one example, like, how do you account for signs that happen really close together but maybe just aren't that significant? For, I'll give you an example. I was watching television the other day and someone was talking about pi, like the mathematical symbol pi.
Right.
And then within half an hour to 1 hour max, there was another show that was talking about pi. And they were both talking about it in mathematical sense and also joking about pi being like the pie that you would eat. Uh-huh. And it was, you know, males talking amongst themselves, and they were both television shows. And so those are some synchronistic events there. And I noticed it. I was like, well, isn't that strange? Because people don't generally talk about pi that often.
Right.
And, but at the same time, I mean, it seems really insignificant. So would something like that qualify for a CMPE?
Possibly, yes. What I would do if that happened to me is I would do something on paper like you just did in speech to me, which is go through a list of what they have in common. And once I have that list, I would, you know, be able to evaluate it according to the rules that I've derived. And that's a promising possibility. Once you have the list, though, the next step is identifying what I call the subject situation, which is what the sign's about. And if the list of parallels is a really solid one, it's going to point in one way or another at a situation in your life that the sign's speaking to. And if there's nothing in your life that remotely fits, chances are it's not a sign. On the other hand,
maybe it's a sign I watch.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it's a sign I watch too much TV.
Maybe. But if the list of parallels is solid, there usually is something in your life that mirrors that list of parallels that the sign is speaking to.
Okay, because I saw it and I noticed it, that it was a synchronicity, but I was like, it just doesn't seem to be very significant to me. Another thing that happened, though, is I was reading your book and I put it down to go to bed or whatever I was doing, and I just decided to pull an angel card from Doreen Virtue's deck, mm-hmm. and the card that I picked up was signs.
Interesting.
So that seemed like a pretty loud shout out. I don't know if it was necessarily. So another question, I'm all over the place here. And if you want to get on the air and ask Robert Perry, author of Signs, a question about your synchronicities, give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So can a CMPE ever be just not necessarily something significant, some kind of life lesson or warning or whatever, but just a shout from the universe to say, hey, we are sending you messages?
In my experience, the things that qualify as CMPEs are always more specific than that. They are addressing a particular issue in your life or the life of somebody important to you. So there is kind of that general background message of, hey, we're sending you messages, but there's something more specific than that, too. It may not be that important, but it will be something going on in your life. And if I may, let me just explain a bit about why, you know, there are these rules, and it can all sound rather strict, and it is kind of strict. The reason is that, as I mentioned, I've been working with this for a lot of years, since I was a teen, about 30-some years, actually, and I've recorded on paper hundreds and hundreds of instances, and through that, what I've learned is how the phenomenon, this specific kind of synchronicity itself, works. And what I found is that when something falls within these parameters, it tends to offer an extremely high quality of guidance for our lives. I did a lot of sort of working with things that didn't fall in this model years ago. And what I found is that as I actually remembered and wrote down what I thought things meant, as time went on, the message didn't pan out so well much of the time. It felt great at the moment, but as time went on, it didn't look so good in hindsight. And so what I found with the things that fall within this specific model, they are really remarkable in terms of the quality of guidance offered.
Fantastic. Well, if you want to get on the air, it's time for a break now. So if you want to get on the air and ask Robert Perry a question, Robert Perry is the author of Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. And he is on the air right now. So if you want to get on the air and ask him a question, give me a call right now. I'll get you queued up during the break and on the air. So the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Again, the number is 604-822-2487. If you want on the air, give me a call right now. Pick up the phone and I'll put you on the air. We'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
And if you look into a book, you might just say, I had fun just like Run, DMC and Jay.
Flash your Friends of CITR card and get discounts at Lucky's Comics, RX Comics, Magpie Magazine, People's Co-op Bookstore, and Spartacus Books. Support CITR and pick up your card today.
Welcome back to the show. We are speaking with Robert Perry, author of Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. First of all, I have an announcement here. Yoga of Love with special guest His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari is coming to Vancouver Saturday, July 11th, 2009, from 2 to 4 p.m. He'll be at the Eastside Yoga Center. That's at 1707 Grant Street at the corner of Commercial Drive and Grant. So His Grace will be, he is a world-renowned, world-traveling spiritual master in the line of bhakti or devotion. He's also the author of The Ultimate Self-Realization Course, which is described as a daily e-zine, distributed as a daily e-zine and received by over 10,000 subscribers throughout the globe. His brief stop here in Vancouver is at the end of his current global tour. He'll be performing Kirtan, which is a group chanting of mantra with music, and sharing enlivening wisdom from ancient yogic texts such as the Bhagavad Gita and many others, with topics such as applying ancient wisdom to everyday life, reawakening our eternal identity, simple living and high thinking, and the power of mantra meditation. So if you are interested in joining them for the truly inspiring afternoon on Commercial Drive, then you can contact me and I will send you the email address, because it is a little bit difficult to spell out over the air. So give me an email at spiritualshow@gmail.com and I will forward on his email address to you if you're interested in meeting with him. Again, that's Saturday, July 11th, 2009, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Eastside Yoga Center on Commercial Drive and Grant. So if you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And here again is Robert Perry, author of Signs. Hi, Robert.
Hi there.
Hi. So tell me, you've been studying these synchronicities since you were 16 years old. So can you give us an example, break it down for us, what is like the ideal CMPE? Give us a little bit of the story and some of the parallels.
Sure, yeah. One example that comes to mind, which I actually tell in the book, is a couple of years ago, my wife Nicole and I, we had a nine-month-old daughter, and we had been hearing about baby sign language for quite a while. It's a relatively recent discovery that before babies can speak, they actually have the capacity for language, and they can do sign language. And we didn't know if we should teach this to our daughter. We even had concerns, not only would it work, but would it maybe delay normal language development and so on. So finally, Nicola got what I believe is the main book in the field. I think it's called Baby Signs. And she was reading through it, and one evening she was excited to tell me all that she'd been reading. And she even read me one of the examples of what a baby who's really pre-verbal can do. And there was a 19-month-old baby who was with his father looking in a store window, and he kept making two signs together, one for bird and one for horse. And the father couldn't understand what the baby was getting at, bird, horse. And finally, he saw that hanging from a ceiling, there was a mobile spinning around, and it was a Pegasus, a winged horse. So the child had actually created a new word all on its own by combining two separate symbols, bird and horse. And so we were excited by the book and by the examples and thought, yeah, we should do this. And that's one event, but that's a very typical kind of first event where there's something that does have a bit of emotional significance to it. Maybe it's a new decision, which in this case it was. And then a few hours later, a friend emailed me about a story that he found in the news on a surface level, completely unrelated, but still very strikingly parallel. The story was that it was reported that scientists had discovered that a certain kind of monkey had a capacity for language that we had never guessed that a monkey could have. And what these monkeys did was they had certain sounds that meant certain things. Like, for instance, I think it was a piao, piao, piao sound, and that meant that a leopard was near and they should run for cover. And then there was a hack, hack, hack sound, and that meant an eagle was near and they should also run for cover. But what was very interesting was the scientists found that they also would put these two sounds together to mean something completely new, which was they might be foraging and they just wanted to move on to a new place to forage, and the leader would say both of those sounds together, and that just meant, let's get out of here. It needn't mean we're in danger, let's get, it just meant, you know, whatever reason, let's get out of here. And this was a big discovery. And when I read that, I could not help but think about what we'd just been talking about a little bit before. You know, there, in both cases, with the babies and the monkeys, there's this fairly recent discovery. It's that some creature thought too undeveloped to really have language actually does have a capacity for language. In both cases, there's these specific symbols. And there's two symbols in particular that this creature puts together in a novel way to create a completely new, you know, quote-unquote word or meaning. In both cases, the symbols are for large mammals. We've got, in one case, it's bird and, I guess, a bird's not a mammal, sorry, animals. you got bird and horse. In the other case, you've got leopard and eagle. So the symbols are for either a large mammal, leopard or horse, or a bird or eagle. And those are the ones that got put together to create a new meaning. And that whole list is, I mean, there's probably, you know, seven items on that list. And some of them are so specific. So I immediately thought of the conversation we had. And that basically is how a CMPE, or a sign in my sense of the word, works. You have the two events. They're very similar. One is usually a situation that you're dealing with in which you've had either a problem, a need, or a new idea or a new decision. And the other is very often something that's quite different, but clearly mirroring that and apparently symbolic of that.
So thank you for sharing that fabulous example with us, Robert. And so I have another question. In reading the book, you break down each story into these parallel events, and a lot of the time you've got 5, 6, 10 events. How many events do you specifically need to make it like the minimum for a CMPE?
Well, the events themselves, you just need two.
Okay. Right? Oh, I mean the parallel.
The parallels. You know, it's not a numerical thing, really. It's a combination of how many there are and other factors as well. You know, if you have less than four, you're really getting into trouble. Most of mine have about 8 parallels. Some of them have, you know, 30 or more. But what you want in addition to a good number, you know, at least 4, I'd say, sometimes 3 if they're super specific. But in addition to the number of them, you want them to be, some of them to be quite specific, because the more specific they are, the more improbable they are. And you also want them to come together. You don't want just a laundry list of different unrelated items. You want them to come together to kind of tell a story. For instance, with my baby signs one, there really is kind of a story there. There's a new discovery about an animal thought to not have the capacity for language, et cetera, et cetera. And you can kind of order them in a way where the parallels by themselves will tell a story. So you want the parallel list to have a number of qualities to them, and therefore it is a bit complex, but after a while you learn what a good parallel list looks like.
So, Robert, some of your examples in the book, it seemed to me like you were stretching a little bit. Like, for me, obviously the baby sign language event was quite significant, and obviously there were a lot of parallels. But for me, I wouldn't necessarily pick, oh, well, it was a mammal. Like, unless it was two of the same animal, I might discount that. So it obviously takes practice. So how do you decide which things are genuine parallels and which things are maybe stretching a little bit? Like, sometimes it might be a girl versus a woman, or a student and a teacher, or something like that. Like, how would you decipher which was stretching and which was a genuine parallel?
That's a very good question. You've hit on a really important issue. It's one of those things that, to some degree, takes experience. In fact, you're even using some of the same terminology that my wife and I use. We talk about, hey, that sounds stretchy. We try not to be stretchy. Really, you have to think in terms, you can't get overly specific. Otherwise, it has to be the exact same two events, you know, that were the exact same in every way. So you have to step back a little bit and sort of fuzz your vision so that you can accept things that are related in a way that's somewhat unexpected or unlikely, but not so related that they're absolutely identical. So, for instance, you have, with the baby signs, you have a leopard and a horse. Well, leopards are really different from horses. But if you step back far enough, you can see, hey, they're both large mammals. And that's not something, you know, that's specific enough that it's somewhat unlikely, maybe even only a little bit so. But deciding where the line is between, you know, demanding too much specific likeness and just being stretchy and putting things together that have only the vaguest similarities, learning where you fall in between those two poles is, I think, a matter of experience to some degree.
So it sounds like you need practice. It takes practice too. And maybe the longer that you sit with it, you might write down a list of two or three glaring parallels. And then maybe as the day progresses, you might kind of, your mind might sift out a little bit more.
Exactly. And it does take practice. It's like learning a language. And that takes time. But what you were doing with that example of the pie discussion on TV is exactly how I'm suggesting people go about this. You know, you were listing parallels. And very often, as you look at the events again, especially if for instance, you had these two shows recorded and you could watch them again, the more time you spend with them, the more you may notice things that are parallel that you hadn't noticed before.
Interesting. Well, I did. So I think, because we have TiVo, so I think I probably did have them recorded, but I didn't go back to look at them. But the fact that they were both recorded is another parallel, right?
Possibly so.
Yeah. So, but I mean, when in your book, you also mentioned that a real CMPE should be able to, someone else should be able to look at that and say, yeah, that looks like it's a sign about this, and be quite similar to what you're deciphering. So in your opinion, if that was a CMPE, do you know what that could have been a sign about, or am I totally just reaching?
Well, I don't know. That's the most difficult thing about that example is what I call the subject situation, what is the sign about? Because neither of those events are things in your life. So if that happened to me, I would first, like I said and like you did, make a list of parallels. And then once I looked at that list, I'd say, is there anything in my life that remotely resembles the basic story told by this list? Most signs are not like that example where you have two, both events are not situations from your life. Most signs are different in that one event or both will be a situation in your life. But occasionally you have signs like what you reported where neither one is, in which case you have to look at the parallels and say, what in my life resembles this?
So, for example, if I was thinking about taking a math class or I was really craving pie before the show came on, then that could be a little bit more significant.
Right. Or if it was an interview situation on one or both the shows, it might be about your show.
Okay, cool. Well, you're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We are talking with Robert Perry, author of Signs, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. If you want to get on the air and ask Robert a question about your signs and synchronicities, give us a call. The number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, or you can email spiritualshow@gmail.com. So I'm going to go to a break right now, and give us a call right now if you want to get on the air, and I'll cue you up and put you on the air when we're back from the break. We'll be back with more synchronicity in just a second.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, and everything in between, step right up as the Youth Co-AIDS Society proudly presents Acquired Taste, a carnival of sensations.
On July 9th at 7 p.m., the Big Top hits Canvas Lounge at 99 Powell Street with a feast of all things circus, featuring burlesque and belly dancers, drag performers, aerialists, fire spinners, and jugglers. All proceeds from the premier silent auction go to support prevention education in youth impacted by HIV/AIDS.
Auction donations and ticket purchases can be handled at www.youthco.org or the Youth Co. office downtown. Sponsor a ticket for someone else in true circus style, one night only, July 9th.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. You may be listening online at citr.ca. And a couple hours from now, empowerradio.com is going to be airing the rebroadcast of this show. Thank you to Empower Radio. And they are Empower Radio. Squish the two words together. There's just one R in the middle, empoweradio.com. So check them out. And you can also get their link on my site, spiritualshow.com. So welcome back to the show, Robert. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
So one of the things, I mean, there's a number of things that you have to have in order for this to be a CMPE. So part of your book talks about how you'd like to be able to research CMPEs, because a lot of CMPEs can be connected on a broader basis. So it might be a CMPE within your life, but then because everything is connected, there could be like global CMPEs happening. Actually, I just thought of this. What about the celebrities? The last little while, a lot of celebrities have been passing on. Michael Jackson, Farrah Fawcett, the guy from the infomercials, and also Ed McMahon. So is that a CMPE? And have you broken that down personally because you research this stuff?
No, I haven't looked at that. To have a real CMPE, you'd need situations that or events that had more than just the theme of celebrity death in common. You'd have to have a lot more things in common. So I'm doubtful about that. However, what you're talking about in the book is that, in my experience, different signs are extraordinarily interrelated. So they'll speak to the same issues again and again. They'll say the same kinds of things about those issues again and again. They'll even recur on the exact same date in different years. You know, a sign speaking to a certain situation will be echoed, say, a year or two later on that exact date by another one speaking to the same situation and saying something very similar. And so they do seem to form this kind of interrelated web. And what's really astonishing to me about that is that signs coming to different people seem to be just the same as signs coming to somebody, you know, as to yourself, for instance. So if a sign comes to you and speaks to a certain situation, a sign comes to somebody else speaking to the same situation because you're part of each other's lives, they will not contradict each other. They will say very similar things, sometimes use the exact same symbols. It's really astonishing when you see it, and that's led me to think, well, what if we could create a database of these things from all over the world and start to look at patterns? You know, would larger patterns emerge? And I think they would.
So have you yourself noticed any larger patterns in, because it's not just yourself that you've been working with. You
right.
Actually, tell us a little bit more, because you teach about the Course in Miracles. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that program that you do.
Well, that's kind of a separate involvement in my life, although I do feel that, you know, the Course in Miracles talks a great deal about receiving guidance. And this is one of my main forms, and really my most trusted form of guidance. So are you familiar with the Course in Miracles?
I haven't read it myself, but I've heard lots of quotes by Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, uh-huh. People like that.
Right, right. A Course in Miracles is a three-volume, essentially a spiritual path. It was dictated to a very skeptical psychologist at Columbia University in the 60s and 70s named Helen Schuckman, and she began hearing an inner voice which started dictating a course to her. It said, this is the Course in Miracles, please take notes, and ultimately became a 1,200-page book that is also a spiritual path guiding people into the experience and the extension to others of forgiveness.
So that sounds...
Go ahead.
Sorry, that sounds a lot similar to Neil Donald Walsh, who did Conversations with God.
Similar kind of phenomenon, yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say something else.
Well, I was going to say that A Course in Miracles has a major emphasis on receiving guidance for our decisions in life, basically because from its standpoint, our minds, you know, within these brains are just so limited and so biased that we just can't make the best decisions with our own brain power, and so that we should be opening up, asking a mind that's much larger than ours, you know, what's best for us in each situation. And so because I already have that emphasis, working with signs is really consistent in my mind with my work with the Course. In fact, the two people, Helen Schuckman and her colleague Bill Thetford, they had, back in 1965, a really powerful CMPE in the months that led up to the course starting to come through her. So I really do see a connection between these two things, but they are also sort of separate involvements for me as well, that the course is my day job.
Fantastic. Well, can you break it down for us? I don't want to share too much from your book because I think people should get out there and buy the book. So some of the things, why is it that it's 12 hours? I mean, if something is the two events happen 12 hours apart, they can still be qualify for a CMPE, but it's weaker the farther apart in time they
right.
happen, right? So what made you come to that number, 12 hours? Why can't it be 14 hours or 24 hours?
That's a good question. Basically, with these rules, just try to understand that I sort of derive them from working with hundreds of these instances. And so with the timing, what I used to do is I'd think, well, you know, if it's a day apart, that's fine. In some cases, I would say, hey, these two things are a week apart, but they're so similar. You know, come on, they've got to be related. And so it was all very vague in my mind. And then what I did was I thought, well, look, this whole issue of how far apart they are is a big deal. So I better start trying to figure out how they work. And so what I did was I, for about 3 years, I just cataloged how far apart the events were in all cases. And what I found was surprising to me, and it was that with more than half of the signs, the events were a half hour or less apart. So the majority of them, like 55%, have the events really close together in time. And then 90% of them had the events within something like 4.5 or 5 hours. So you're almost done by the time you get to the 5 hour mark. And then I found that 100% of them, the remaining 10%, happened over the next several hours. So that 100% of them happened within, actually it was 11 and a half hours, but 12 is a nice round number. And so if you kind of, you can almost imagine a little graph where most of them are clustered at the half hour mark, then they drop rapidly to the 5 hour mark, and then they kind of smooth out until at 12 hours it's vanished. And with that graph in mind, to imagine ones that are so far outside that, you know, 24 hours apart, for instance, qualifying, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And so what happened was my standards got tighter as a result of just tracking the times.
So, Robert, one of the things you mentioned in the book is that CMPEs, these synchronistic events, are basically your most trusted guidance from the universe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how often do you experience CMPEs in your own personal life? And how often do you think the average person probably experiences CMPEs and that are significant enough that they would actually qualify as CMPEs?
Right. And that's a list of really good questions. First of all, I want to say why they're my most trusted source of guidance. I really do have a major focus on guidance. I ask within many, many times every day. I seek guidance in group settings where we all have the same questions, sit down and write down what we get. So, you know, I'm a person who seeks a lot of guidance. I've just found that there is just a really unusual quality of guidance that comes through with CMPEs. So they've earned my respect and trust over the years and given me the feeling that they're, wherever they're coming from, there's some kind of intelligence that clearly sees a bigger picture than I do. And I think when you're around that kind of intelligence, your trust just kind of naturally goes to it. So that's why they have that standing. How often do I get them? I think I'm on the unusual end in that I, basically, for the last many, many years, I have an average of about one a week. I've had two in the last several days. I think that's unusual. I'm not sure why. I have no idea why that happens more to some people than others. Do they happen to everybody? How frequently? That's really an issue for future research because there's this huge problem sitting right in the middle of that stream, which is noticing them. It really takes familiarity with the model to notice them. I'm convinced from experience that most of them pass by unnoticed because you're looking for things that share a list of similarities. You have to think in a bit more global of a way about relationships between events, and they can be subtle and pass by. I've had cases where my wife spotted one that I was witnessing and did not spot, and vice versa. But when you put it on paper, it definitely qualified. So we'll have to see what frequency they have for the population at large. In my experience, when I'm working with somebody, trying to help them with some situation in their lives, I'll almost always suggest that we look for signs and relate the model to them. And usually, it might take a few months, but usually they have one, and often they have several. So I suspect that the incidence for, you know, the average incidence is quite far from one a week. But I do think they're happening to people all over and quite possibly everybody.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. So when I was speaking with Neil Donald Walsh on the show a while back, I brought up signs from the universe and how some signs were more significant than others. And he used the example of, because I was like, well, obviously a booming voice in your head being God is a much more significant sign than just like picking an angel card out of the deck that says signs, right? Mm-hmm. And he gave me the example of, well, what about you're driving down the street and you're like, God, give me a sign. I want to know if I should do whatever, go to Europe for the summer. And then you see a billboard on that says yes on it. Mm-hmm. So would that qualify as a sign to you?
Yeah, that's a classic example of what we normally call a sign that doesn't qualify in my model. Because if you try to write a list of parallels between those two events, you can't come up with even one. Very often what we experience as a sign or call a sign is where I have a question or a problem, and then some other event comes along that seems like the answer. But, you know, and that may be the answer. I don't know. But in this model, that other event needs to not just have me sort of think, well, that's the answer to my question. I have to be able to write a list of parallels between the two events. And in that example, there's not even one parallel.
So in your experience, you use CMPEs, these complicated signs that have many parallels, to guide you in your life. But do you use, let's call them soft signs, like the give me a sign, the sign says yes. Do you take that wisdom and consider it as well, or do you throw it out and just focus on your version of a sign, the CMPE?
Well, actually, I used to use the softer ones. And I'm not saying to people that they shouldn't use the softer ones, but you're asking what I do personally. And because I get so many signs, of these kinds, you know, the CMPEs. I just don't even, if I asked if I should go to Europe, I saw a sign that said yes, for me that would mean absolutely nothing. Because I would have, in a week or a month, I'd have one of these experiences that have proven so trustworthy for me. So I don't really feel the need to rely upon the softer ones, because in years past, when I did, I found that they weren't very trustworthy.
Okay, fair enough. And you know, if it's significant enough, in your experience, you're having so many of these CMPEs anyway, that you're sure to get a sign of some sort.
Right. In the meantime, I'm asking very, very frequently internally for guidance. And I'm getting my sort of inner sense about things, and I'm just operating on that, too.
Okay, so you're not just waiting around for these events to kind of happen just out of the blue. You're actually seeking them out and asking for guidance multiple times a day.
Right, because decisions, if you think about it, they're happening all the time. You know, minute by minute, we're making small decisions. You know, like, what do I do next? You know, what do I eat or whatever? And so if I was waiting for even a once a week sign, I kind of be at a loss for having some sense of connection to a higher wisdom for what I should do.
Okay. But if it's something significant that you need, like say you were changing careers or thinking of adopting a child or something significant in your life, would you wait for a CMPE before you made that decision if you were unsure about it?
You know, that's a good question, too. In some cases, yes, and some no. My experience is that very often, and I don't know why this is, but very often, the CMPE only comes after you've made the decision.
Interesting.
In other cases, I would wait. For instance, my wife and I have faced an issue about making a move. And I just felt that we couldn't really make that. We both felt this, that we couldn't really make the decision without a clear sign. But in many cases, it's only once clarity has come inside of you and you've made the decision and you communicate the decision that the CMPE comes.
And so then would it generally be a CMPE confirming that you made the right decision, or does it sometimes happen that it's a CMPE telling you, dude, you made a mistake, you should have chose the other decision?
It's almost always confirming. Very often, sometimes it's disconfirming. But oftentimes when the signs don't agree with something like that, they fall silent until you do something they agree with. And it's not the most helpful way to go about things, I admit, but it's just the way they work.
Fantastic. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up the show in just a few minutes. I really want to thank you for being on the show for the anniversary of Synchronicity. And I'm wondering, aside from the book, which is a fantastic book, first of all, where can people get your book?
Yes. Because of the way it's printed, it's only available on Amazon and, you know, Barnes & Noble. So they won't find it in brick-and-mortar bookstores.
Okay, is it self-published?
Yeah, we formed our own publishing company, my wife and I, called Semaian Press. It's based on the Greek word for sign. So in a sense, it's self-published. Basically, we've chosen to publish it in a way where it's only on Amazon.
So if, for example, someone from Banyan Books was listening in Vancouver and they wanted to sell this book, would they be able to, or is it only ever going to be available online?
I think bookstores will sell these in response to a specific request. I think it's not profitable for them to stock them, and that's why you won't find them in bookstores.
Okay, fair enough. So the best way to get it as Amazon or Barnes & Noble online. The name of the book is Signs by Robert Perry, A New Approach to Coincidence, Synchronicity, Guidance, Life Purpose, and God's Plan. Now, the book is fascinating. I really enjoyed how you personally gave so many examples of these synchronicities, of these in-depth CMPEs. But at the same time, I feel like I have a general idea of how to do it, but like it takes practice.
It does. And Marie, if I could interject one last thing here as we're at the end.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about your pie example, and I just want to say once again that's a promising example, and you might want to not take so seriously the mathematical component of it. Maybe more the setting of the TV show, and it may end up being a real sign, but being about your show.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give it some more thought. I don't have the shows recorded anymore, so I would have to rely on my memory.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
One was on some sitcom, and another one was on Orange County Chopper, an old episode.
Okay.
So it was like one was a sitcom and one was a reality show. So they were both television shows, but I wouldn't be able to use that as a parallel because they were different types of shows.
Well, but they're both television shows.
Yeah.
I mean, some parallels are kind of vague and vacuous, like that one is, but they're still parallels. Anyway, if you want to recall, the specifics of each event and email them to me, I might be able to get some feedback.
Awesome. That was my next question that I wanted to ask before we wrap up the show. When people get your book, and I would recommend you get the book, it's very interesting, and Yeah, hopefully one day it'll be in the library for people to get, because I think it's that good. So, and I think in Vancouver you can actually request that they purchase a book and put it in the library. So if you're interested in that, bug the Vancouver Public Library to get this book. I think it's really good basis to get started. But if people are having trouble learning this to the point where it's just easy for them to find parallels, do you offer any kind of training or workshops or anything like that?
We haven't currently offered that. We hope to in the future. I'm also working with a group of researchers to basically do the first study of the phenomenon. Also, my wife offers herself as an interpreter. So if you think you've had a sign, you can contact her, and you can find that information through the website, which is semeionpress.com. It's hard to spell. It's S-E-M-E-I-O-N Press.
Okay. Well, I'll put
we
a
have
link.
Some resources.
I'll put a link to your site on my site, spiritualshow.com, just because it is a little bit tricky to spell. So you can check out spiritualshow.com sometime over the next day or two, and I'll put that link up so that you can ask your questions to Robert and his wife. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Did you want to add anything real quick before we end the show?
Not really. Just congratulations on your first year, and I can see why you're lasting. I mean, you've been an excellent questioner. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm actually surprised that more people didn't call in, or anyone didn't call in, but I did have that fantastic question about the situation that happened over the week with the sex offender list. So I want to thank that person who provided that and allowed me to share her story on the air. Thank you so much, Robert, for being on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and you might be listening online at CITR.ca, live in Vancouver at 101.9 FM in Vancouver, CosmicDimensions.com, or 2 hours from now on EmpowerRadio.com, or is it one? It'll be 1 hour from now. They'll be airing, hopefully, this show. So thank you so much for being with me. Again, this is the first year we've been on the air. So I do want to give away a gift to one lucky listener in Vancouver. So if you're in Vancouver and you can come to the UBC campus to pick up your gift, thank you to Sage Natural Wellness, who's provided so many gifts over the last few months, and they were donated for the funding drive, and I've had lots left. So I'm going to be giving away this package here: well-being bath salts, well-being aromatherapy mist, which is beautiful, and a spa spirit nourishing body bar, which is made from shea butter. And they get this shea butter from the women in the South Sudan. It's their own business in Sudan, so it's a wonderful way to support those women in their own economic ventures. And also, I'm going to throw in a DVD of Louise Hay's DVD, You Can Heal Your Life, the movie, and it talks about Louise's life and also how you can heal your life. She's the author of that book, and it's a very interesting DVD movie. So if you want this gift, give me a call right now at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive. Thank you for being with me for this past year. I really appreciate you, and this show would be nothing without you, the listener. So thank you for being a part of Synchronicity. Scotty's Scenic Drive is up next.
How long do you think it'll be before I can do the show?
You're starting tonight.
We'll do it live!
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's newest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
But a lot of these groups are nothing but pure carnality and fleshly and so forth. But
check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
You're pretty happy with the way you look and the attitude you've got, are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, and everything in between, step right up as the Youth Co-Aid Society proudly presents Acquired Taste, a carnival of sensations.
On July 9th at 7 p.m., the Big Top hits Canvas Lounge at 99 Powell Street with a feast of all things circus, featuring burlesque and belly dancers, drag performers, aerialists, fire spinners, and jugglers. All proceeds from the premier silent auction go to support prevention education in youth impacted by HIV/AIDS.
Auction donations and ticket purchases can be handled at www.youthco.org or the YouthCo office downtown. Sponsor a ticket for someone else in true circus style, one night only, July 9th.
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
One, two!
I never thought that it would end this way. But it would seem that it has. I never thought it would all go that way. It seems you already did. I never thought that we would be the ones flying our own little flag. But I guess that we are. Seen that it has. I never thought it would go that way. It seems you already did. I never thought that we would be the ones.